New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer the Lord, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and did not care for you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous will inherit eternal life. This is the word of our Lord. In my early 20s, I was completely fascinated and enthralled by the life of Mother Teresa. I read stacks of books about her life and personal memoirs of hers and compilations of private prayers that she would pray. I was captivated by the sincerity of her prayers and the commitment to which she lived her life serving others. One particular author wrote about how Mother Teresa went where others feared to go, saying that she never hesitated to kiss the hands of India's lepers or pick maggots out of the wounds of those who were lying in the streets. She helped change attitudes about AIDS by hugging those who were dying from this disease. In a day and age when AIDS was highly feared and it was highly stigmatized, Mother Teresa opened her arms up to those individuals and she welcomed them in. In a day and age when leprosy was believed to be highly contagious with no sort of medical treatment, Mother Teresa kissed their hands. The image of Mother Teresa picking maggots out of the gaping wounds of distressed and indigent people living in the streets is sure to capture the full magnitude of the devout life that she lived. She was totally immersed in the call to serve the sickest of the sick, to love the lowliest of the low, and to provide refuge for the downtrodden. She threw her own reservations and hesitations to the side and cast her own fears away as she served any person in need and shined forth Christ's light and love and hope into their lives. Mother Teresa based her entire ministry off of our gospel reading from Matthew this morning. In her own words, her life purpose was to feed the hungry, not only with food, but with the word of God, to give drink to the thirsty, not only for water, but for knowledge, peace, truth, justice, and love, to clothe the naked, not only with clothes, but with human dignity, to give shelter to the homeless, not only a shelter built from bricks, but a heart that understands, and to nurse the sick and dying, not only for the body, but also for the mind and the spirit. Each time she gave food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, housed the homeless, and clothed the naked, she described those instances as opportunities to see in each one of those people Christ. When she looked into the eyes of those that she literally pulled out of the gutter, she saw Christ. And she would say, "This is Jesus. Everyone is Jesus in a distressing disguise." She knew that when she was holding a starved, young, and dying child, that she was actually holding Christ in her arms. That is the essence of what is being depicted to us in our gospel reading from Matthew this morning, when Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, when you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. To put it as simply as possible, the very best way to know and experience the presence of the Lord, or the very best way to make the inward journey to God, is through the outward journey of our brothers and sisters in this world. Today is Christ King Sunday, and on this day we celebrate Christ as the King and the Lord over all the earth and the cosmos. We celebrate the one who willingly died for all of humanity and whose loving kindness endures forever. To bear witness to Christ as King means that we act as messengers of his kingdom, serving the least ones and shining forth Christ's light and love and hope into their lives. Living as a messenger of God's kingdom is about freely giving ourselves away for the sake and well-being of others. It's about taking the time to look into the eyes of those who are in need, the poorest of the poor, the lowliest of the low, and the downtrodden, and seeing the eyes of Christ staring back at you. 280 days ago, or 40 Sundays ago, I was ordained, but who's counting? Since my ordination service occurred in Roanoke, Virginia, which is 9 hours away from here, many of you were not privy to what occurred during that service. So I thought I would share some of it with you this morning and what all occurred there. There was about 9 of my closest friends and colleagues who participated in the actual service. And there are 4 parts of the ordination service that were extremely meaningful to me and that I often think about and reflect on. One of those elements was the prayer that directly followed my actual ordination, when all the elders of the church come forward and they put their hands on you and pray for you. The reason that it was so moving and so meaningful was not only because I was surrounded by a large group of my closest friends and colleagues that were praying over me, but it was the prayer that my friend was praying throughout it all. As I was knelt down on the chancel, I had hands all over me. I had hands on my head. I had hands on my shoulders and my back. I had hands holding my hands. And my friend prayed about hands. And he said something to the effect of, "May your ministry be fruitful. May you, wherever you go, may you know that these hands go with you, that they are supporting you and encouraging you every step of the way. May you go with the hands of the church in New York, who will lovingly embrace you. May you know that you go with God's hand and the hands of the great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding you and cheering you forward. And may you reach your hand out to all those who are in need that you encounter. May you reach your hand out to the soft hands of the young and the youthful. May you sit on the bedside of the sick and hold their warm and scared hand. May you clutch the small, sticky hands of the children. May you embrace the aged and weathered hands of the elderly. And may you hold tightly onto those shaking hands of the grief-stricken. As you hold each hand, may you shine forth God's love and hope into their lives. And as you hold each hand, may you in turn experience God in those moments and see the eyes of Christ staring back at you." It was a deeply moving prayer, and it illumines the vast array of people that we encounter in this world that need a helping hand. It illumines how when we do help others, we encounter God in those moments. I wanted to briefly share a story with you all about one of my friends who lives in Myrtle Beach. I was talking to her earlier this week, and she was telling me that she was driving in Myrtle Beach, and she pulled up to an intersection, and it was a busy intersection. And she looked over, and there was a gentleman standing on the corner, and he was holding a sign, and the sign was asking for money. So she thought to herself, "Well, I have a $20 bill in my wallet, but I kind of need that money. And I wonder if he needs it, or if he'll spend it on booze or drugs." And then she started creating obstacles about how she would even get the money to him, because there was 2 lanes of traffic separating her from this gentleman. So she resisted all of this inner dialogue. Finally, it rolled down her window, stuck her hand out with the 20 in it, and this gentleman walked over and retrieved it out of her hand. And as he did, he locked eyes with her. And he said, "May God bless you." And she said, "He just did." God is not a remote supreme being that is on a throne over and above us in the clouds or in the mysterious reaches of the universe. Our gospel from Matthew illumines that God is here with us in the messiness of everyday human life. God is here particularly in our neighbors, the ones who need us the most. Throughout our everyday lives, we come into contact with a vast array of people who are in need. people who need a helping hand, food to eat, something to drink, shelter, and clothing. We also encounter people who need a little bit of encouragement or Christ's light shine into their lives. Or we come into contact with people that need to have the love of God shared with them. And we come into contact with people who need a reminder that there is hope in this world after all. And when we do, and it is an individual choice to reach our hands out to those individuals that are in need, to be bearers of Christ for them and messengers of God's kingdom. And when we do, it is not strictly benefiting those hands that we are reaching out to. It is simultaneously benefiting us as we encounter God in those precious moments. There are many opportunities within our church to reach our hands out to those in need as well. The angel tree is a perfect and timely example. Beth and Jill passed out 30 angels last week for children who are in need and something to open on Christmas morning. Beth had to go back and ask for 10 more angels this week. Operation Christmas Child is another perfect and timely example. You can see the many gift-filled boxes that are sitting up here that we will be praying over in just a little bit as we prepare to send them out into this world and into the hands of God's children who are in need this holiday season. These are all efforts that we contribute to as a collective body of Christ so that we can lend a helping hand in this world and act as messengers of God's kingdom. Our church is the vehicle for us so we can reach our hands out to the wide array of people who are in need all around this world. Our church is a powerful and effective way for us to collectively bear Christ's light and love and hope into other people's lives. Today, as we celebrate Christ King Sunday, we are reminded of our Christian duty to be bearers of Christ in this world and to act as messengers of God's kingdom. And today, as we conclude our stewardship campaign, we are reminded of the importance of our church, how our church is a vehicle so we can reach out to the hands of this world. And we are reminded that our church can do nothing without our hands. Currently, our rocket ship fuel tank is a quarter of a way full. We cannot expect our church to continue to exist if we cannot cover the basic operating expenses. As we invest in this church, we are investing in God's kingdom, and we are committing to be bearers of Christ. As we invest in this church, we are committing to one another to join hands together and to reach out to all those hands in this world that are in need. May we invest ourselves and our resources into God's kingdom. May we all reach our hands out to the least ones, the ones in need of food and clothing, shelter and something to drink, the ones in need of Christ's light and love and hope in their lives. And as we look into the eyes of those who are in need, may we experience God in those precious moments. And may we see the eyes of Christ staring back at us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.